Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. This is such an honor today. I am talking to somebody who, well, on the ladder to success of Joy on Paper, I have come a long way. It's going to be the 7th anniversary soon, and I am so thrilled. Because sometimes you just dream about talking to somebody important. And of course, I talk to so many important people. But Cyrus Friedheim is perhaps, well, he's one of my favorite people because I have read this book and I think it is so impressive. And I just want to thank him so much for being on Joy on Paper today. His book is called Commit and Deliver. On the front lines of management consulting. Good morning, Mr. Friedheim.
Good morning.
I have a song I want to play for you, okay? Welcome to Joy on Paper, Mr. Friedheim.
Thank you very much. What an honor.
Well, you know, you represent something very important to me. First, a connection to my past and a connection to something very special. Since I started Joy on Paper, I have discovered these magical golden threads that connect me to so many of the authors that I talk to. And of course, you are a major one because I actually worked for Booz Allen and Hamilton for a short period of time, and I loved it. It was my first corporate job, and because of that, it's carried me through for all these years, and now talking to you puts me within, you know, they talk about 6 degrees of separation. Well, I am now, like, I think within 1 degree of separation from somebody I have wanted to speak to ever since I started this program, and that is Henry Kissinger. So we're going to talk a little bit about the connections that we have, but it is just an honor to welcome you to the show because Commit and Deliver, I think, is such an important book. For me, it is going to be like my 2021 pick of one of the most important books of the year.
Wow.
Well, for somebody like you, we need at this time, and in this horrible era that we're going through, people who are ready to commit and deliver. And so this book, I just hit the right spot, I think, and I hope that people will understand that it's about so much more than just your work, just the great success that you've had of being on, I think, 15 boards, right? You've been on 15 major boards?
15 corporate, and then another 20 or so not-for-profit.
Well, I played the victory song because it reminded me of your mother, and I want you to tell us a little bit about her. Because when I read this book, one of the things I kept thinking about as a homeschool mother, that I would love to share with homeschool mothers this book, because I think it will inspire them, because your mother was pretty inspiring.
Well, thank you. And she was certainly a key in my life. We all look to our moms, particularly when things go wrong, say, Mom, where's Mom? You know, you see this great big guy who's just gotten beat up or something like that, maybe even a boxing match. And what does he first say? Mom. Well, my mom didn't go to college, but she had no question in her mind, nor did my dad, nor they had no question that I was going to college, and all the other of the five of us would go to college. So they, between the two of them, had like a one semester of college. They wound up with five kids, four of whom had advanced degrees, and all of whom, had wonderful careers. So she is a total inspiration. I think the thing you're referring to is when time came for each of us to decide on where we might go to college. Remember, weather wasn't an issue. Where, a little bit of an issue. But she used to play, the one thing she could remember to play, because she played piano as a kid, is the Notre Dame Victory March. So every time we came down for breakfast during the decision period, she was on the piano playing the Notre Dame Victory March.
That is just the kind of thing that mothers should do. They have to inspire their children. And as you said, she didn't go to college, but she knew the importance of education. And so you really, you know, you were blessed to have a mother and father like that. And while what you have done over the years is amazing, I don't know where to start. I do want to mention this story that you write in the beginning, the story about Ronald Reagan. Why don't you remind people of this? Because this is really a great example.
Well, for those of us who were around at the time, remember this is back in 1980, when Ronald Reagan became president, shortly after that, PATCO, the union of air controllers in the United States for our commercial airline, went on strike. And I can't remember the reason for it, but it was money and conditions and the normal things. But because of the way the laws are structured, there are certain categories of people, particularly in government service, that can't go on strike, notably like the military. Well, the air controller system is the same. They cannot go on strike. So they did anyway. He told them they couldn't. It was illegal. And they declared it like on Friday or something. And he said in 48 hours, if anybody who is still on strike will be fired. And in the meantime, what he did is he figured out how to run the airline system without the controllers, those controllers. And so when the time came, and for those of us who were alive at the time, we remember how many times during that 48-hour period he got on television or radio and said, go back to work. You will be fired if you don't. And so when the time came, he immediately, when the clock struck 48 hours from his first announcement, he got on the TV and the radio and said, all 11,000 who are still on strike are fired.
Oh.
Not fired, but they were banned from ever working again in the United States as air controllers. And that was a classic example of commit and deliver.
Wow. It was, because nobody believed that he would do it. I'm sure.
Nobody believed.
What the talking heads, you know, back then, they didn't have all the cable. But can you imagine? The talking heads today would explode right on television if somebody did that.
Right.
So it is really an amazing story. And let's start with your story, how you made it. You know, again, you went to college, you studied something that you discovered wasn't exactly what you wanted to become, but you used that and everything else that you did. And how did you just get yourself in line for what you eventually became, which was a major leader in the consulting business? And I want to then talk about the consulting business, because right now it's got a little bit of a bad reputation, but what you did, the things that you did to save companies, to build companies, is fascinating.
Yeah, well, it's hard to pick up the story at any one point in time. I think let me try this on you. There's an underlying theme in the whole book, and that is that your most important project is you. And when we look at life, whether it be your personal life or your professional life, your career, and by career, I don't mean just work career. You know, there's being a full-time mom, as far as I'm concerned, is a career. Being a part-time bricklayer is a career thing. So whatever you do with your life other than the personal life. So I divide the world into my thinking about life in those two buckets. One of the keys that I've observed, and much of this, by the way, is in retrospect. I wasn't so smart that I knew all this stuff when I was 18, and which is one of the reasons that I've done the book, so that I can help people when they are 18 to see the world in a different way. Every person is equal in the eyes of the Creator at birth. It's actually a brilliant design. We are all the same, and yet we're all unique. We're all unique physically. You know, we got two arms, two legs, five toes on each foot. You know, some have six, but fundamentally, we're all the same. And we're all the same inside as well. And we have common instincts like personal survival and survival of the species and love and happiness and freedom. And at Earth, on the other hand, we're the same in all those things. On the other hand, we are, every single one of us, is unique. 8 billion people, and we're all unique. We have a unique DNA. We have unique appearance. Can you imagine you can recognize every, there's no two people on Earth that look exactly the same. And we all come from different circumstances. So during life, everything, after birth, everything is unique. You don't have a choice on birth. You're born where you're born to the people you're, for your parents and the place, and all the rest of that stuff is predetermined. But during life, everyone has opportunities and challenges and talents. It's what you do with those that matters. And the book suggests a way to think about that issue. How am I being anybody, going to navigate my set of opportunities, challenges, and talents, given where I come from? But those are my circumstances, and I could do one of two things with those. I can either say, gee, I was given too tough a hand, the life is against me, I'm a victim, and come help. Or you can say, hey, look, this is what I got, I'm a human being, I'm certainly better off than the horse or the dog, and no matter what it is. And I can always think about other people who have really been through tough times and survived. So how I handle those things is really what the book is all about. And so what I did is I got jobs as a kid, learned what I didn't like as well as I liked. I tried to sort through what I was good at, what I was not, what I was interested in, what I was not, to set up the question, what am I going to do for the rest of my life, which was a question I dealt with throughout my life. And the point you're making is when I went to Notre Dame, I chose chemical engineering. Well, I knew within a few weeks, certainly the first semester, that that's not where I wanted to spend my life. I hated labs. I hated a lot about it. I love the analytics, the chemistry, the physics. All that stuff was great. But getting in there and titrating two products to get a little stuff at the bottom, or that was terrible. So despite that fact, I didn't change, and I should have. And so the point I'm making in the book with my career is I made a big mistake. I did switch. And if I had a mentor, or if I knew how to think about it, if I knew what other opportunities were, I'm certain I would have shifted. I didn't. And the book goes through a lot of transitions like that. And it's based on the little prelude that I laid out that, you know, we all have our talents, our opportunities, and our challenges. And how we deal with them is the key. And one of the most important things is to know that you have to address them.
Exactly. Well, you know, one of the things that I will say this, I did something, well, really great, because I did one thing better before you did. I can say to people, I talked to Cyrus Friedheim, and I did one thing before he did, and I got my paper route when I was 7 years old, and you started yours when you were 8 years old.
You were an early bird.
And I was a girl, you have to remember. I was the first girl in my town to have a paper route.
I believe that's true.
Oh, so I was really ahead of the times. The newspapers would come up from Chicago, and I lived in the Upper Peninsula. They'd come up from Chicago, and of course they had boys who were doing the paper routes, and I went to the railway station where the dispatcher was, and I said, I want to deliver papers. And he says, you're a girl. And I said, I'm better than they are. And I was. I was the best paper girl that they ever had. Because, first of all, and I got subscriptions that they'd never had, because I was a girl. And one of the things in our little town, you know, very much like a English village, we had three taverns. And all I had to do was go there, and I would get people signing up for newspapers. It was wonderful. Paper boys delivered the papers, got subscriptions.
Ah, that was way beyond my
See, I realize that. But this is one of the things. I upped you on one thing. But of course, you have you blew it away on everything else, because your career has been stellar to, when you shoot for the stars, you really did. Because I, of course, love Booz Allen. If I had known about this book before I booked you, I would have booked the whole hour, because I could spend an hour just talking about how much I love Booz Allen. Tell us a little bit about Booz Allen and how you managed to do so many things in 35 years.
Well, I wound up there because I had a good mentor. As a matter of fact, there were two different ones. And this is a point I really wanted to make in the book, is that none of us can navigate our lives on our own. And mentors are extraordinarily valuable. I didn't know that, you know, as I was growing up. And until really I got well into my professional career did I realize how much impact certain people have had on my life. And so one of the major recommendations here is get mentors. And Booz Allen, I certainly did. As a matter of fact, I kind of a subtitle for the book, and that's the book is A Mentor in a Memoir Form. So it's not really a biography or autobiography. It's more of a mentor of people going through their life. But because of a couple of mentors and a friend, I got a call. I was about to leave Ford Motor Company, and I got a call and from a friend of mine, a classmate in at Carnegie Mellon, who went directly to Booz Allen out of school. I went to Ford Motor Company, and he called me, and he hit it right at the perfect point where I had pretty much decided that I was going to leave Ford. I wasn't going to make the same mistake that I made with chemical engineering a second time. I realized that Ford was a great stopping point for me, but it wasn't the end point. So I talked to him, and I just loved the idea of working for lots of different companies on lots of different projects and being what I call in the room. In the room means, you know, where the decisions are made, and that's typically in the CEO's office. So I launched it, and I jumped at it, and it was better than I could have imagined at the end of the first year. I loved it. My wife and I talked about it before I accepted, and, you know, I realized that there was travel involved, and I didn't know how we'd handle that because I had never been away a single night after we got married. And so, you know, the first year, there was a fair amount of it. So that was a tough part, but the rest was so good and so exhilarating that I continued on. I used to tell people management consultant isn't for everybody, but what you're faced with is you're given a project, and it's typically by the top decision maker, although sometimes it was somebody down the line. But it was somebody who knows the company much better than you do, who knows the problem much better than you do, but who thinks it's important enough for the company to hire an outsider to help, and you're given 3 months to solve this problem and convince him to act in something that he, in effect, paid you to look at. And for the right person, that's the most exhilarating thing imaginable. For the wrong person, it's sheer hell. That's what management consulting was to me.
And it is a fun life, I can tell you, in so many ways. When you have great success, when you manage to help companies survive, as you did, and many of them thrive because of your work, it is a very rewarding job. Having seen it, I was, you know, as I mentioned it to you, I was just a small cog in Booz Allen, but I watched as the consultants came up with ideas and came up with solutions, and they were so excited, and it was an exciting place to work and a wonderful work atmosphere. So, you know, I'm very, very proud of a little bit that I did. And so when I read your stories, I think they're fascinating. And as I said, I don't have a lot of time with you today, although I would like perhaps you could come back again and we could have more time. I do want to ask this. You really insisted that Iacocca call you?
Right.
So did you, you insisted he make a personal call to you?
Yes.
Wow.
Here's what happened. Well, he didn't have to make the call. What he had to do is see me, you know, and so, but he had to call me to set up the meeting. I wasn't going to call him.
Oh, wow.
And the reason is a little complex, but I think you'll understand it. He historically, and I knew this, and we had talked about it on occasions when I was working with him during the first few weeks of this project. He didn't like management consultants. His view was that a management consultant, person that calls on and used a management consultant, really couldn't do his job. And so he was never going to get caught in that trap. So during the first few weeks of the assignment, which was to answer a question for the Secretary of the Treasury, he said that Chrysler has come to the government and asking for basically a bailout. And so the Secretary of Treasury said to us, look, what I don't want to bail them out if they can't survive. So you tell me whether their plan is viable. Well, we went in and found out their plan, they didn't have a plan. They had not a plan to survive what was happening to them. They had a product plan and a budget and a personnel plan and all those other kind of things, but nothing that put everything together and said, all right, our sales are crashing, our profits are terrible, we're running out of cash, and what do we do?
And you came out with an idea. And this is what consultants do, and people have to read this book and really find out the story behind this solution that you came out with, and with so many of the other great successes you had, because Commit and Deliver, I think, is a very important book, because you're so connected to Chicago. I am so upset that more kids do not make it through school. So either they have to get their act together and hire the right consultants, because we can't have 26% of the kids being able to read. They are our future. It's just somebody better hire somebody to actually get these kids off the ground. And only 26% can fly.
Tell you what, I have fought very hard about this specific problem. We don't, unfortunately, have enough time today to discuss it. But I have fought very hard about this. And I think I have some solutions.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to invite you back. But what I want is I would like you to come back, and I would like actually specifically to talk about that kind of a thing, because you have this expertise, and I am trying to reach the right people, because for me, reading is the most important thing. If you can't read, now I can take any kid. I was a homeschool mom, and I can take any kid. You can give me any kid in America. Give me a kid, and I can take a 7-year-old, and within 4 hours, I can teach them algebra. I guarantee it. You give me any kid, I can teach them. Give me a day, and by the end of the day, they will be able to give you the dates of all the major events in American history. I know how to do it, but I can't get through to the right people, and I want to encourage more people to think about it. So I want to invite you back, and we can talk about education, because in the end, it all comes down to education, and kids need to be able to read. I'm promoting books, but I need kids who can actually read the books.
Yeah, I have actually, I'm writing another book right now, and that is a core topic within the book, so I would be delighted.
So that we can actually talk about it, because I think your input can be very helpful. But I want, again, to tell people, I think this is a great book. It's a wonderful gift. All of you parents out there, I think you should get this book, because you will be inspired to start thinking about your own children's education. And it's called Commit and Deliver on the Front Lines of Management Consultant, because in the end, parents are the management consultants for their children.
Correct.
So, Cyrus Friedheim, I'm really honored to have you on the program today. And as I said, now I'm like one degree of separation from Henry Kissinger. We didn't even get to talk about him because he is my ultimate goal. Up that ladder of joy on paper, he's the one at the top that I want to talk to. Of all the people in the world.
I'll tell him.
You tell him. I want to talk to him. I've been trying to get through to his people. I want to talk to him. And again, everybody, it's called Commit and Deliver on the Front Lines of Management Consulting. Beautifully written, easy to read, with a lot of bullet points, a lot of explanations that really will hit the mark for you. So again, thank you so much for being on the program today, Mr. Friedheim.
Well, thank you very much, Beth.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye-bye.